Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
Y'all know what time it is. The Three Wide Podcast is back on the airwaves once again. Eddie Greer III, your host for this NASCAR podcast, the Three Wide NASCAR Podcast, where we talk about the trucks, Xfinity Series, Cup Series, the three biggest divisions, and all of motorsports on this Memorial Day weekend. This is part one of Charlotte Recap here on this podcast. Of course, I'm recording this just after a filler in the Xfinity series just a half hour ago. I'm going to save that for part two. We're just going to only focus on the Coca-Cola 600. And before we dive on into that, kind of a half hour-ish edition of this podcast, you can follow me at EG3. Oh, I said it again. Oh, man. At Eddie_EG3 is my Twitter handle on Twitter. Of course, had good interaction on there, of course, with the race at yesterday with the 600. And you can find the Three Wide Podcast wherever you get your podcast, whether it be from Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and more. That includes SoundCloud as well. So the Three Wide Podcast getting some recognition as well. And I thank you guys for doing that as well. So definitely do not miss a moment of the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Yeah, let's get down on the business. So yeah, I just got done watching the Xfinity Series race, which that will be part of part two later on this week here on the show. But yeah, there's been a lot of debate already from last night's 600, if you will. And there's been a lot of talk, you know, through the last several years. It's been heating up whether this should be a shorter race or they should keep it. And in my opinion, they should keep the 600 at the 600 miles. You know, obviously there's no Monaco yesterday or no Indy 500 due to the COVID-19, obviously. So it did feel a little weird, you know, not getting up, you know, with going up, getting ready for church, and at the same time watching Monaco. I mean, it just felt a little weird to me, not being able to see that. And obviously the Indianapolis 500, your lunch portion of the Memorial Day weekend throwdown in racing, that was deeply missed there. So you and then of course you have the no crowd situation, no crowds at Charlotte. And after you know, it didn't, you last week Darlington, yes, it felt a little weird at the start, but now you get used to a little bit. But hey, you know, when it comes to that situation, you never are used to it. When it comes to NASCAR and its fan support, definitely, you know, especially with Memorial Day being today, in the honor, and it was, first off, you know, thank you know, I have my older sister who's serving currently right now with the Navy. I don't know where she is currently, but she left a few months ago on a 6-month leave, leaving our niece behind in Sage. So yeah, she's doing that, and she recently got married last December as well, going through all that and then leaving your family behind and doing that. So you know, to all that is who served, who is currently serving right now. Obviously I live 10 to 15 miles away from Fort Riley, so you know, I'm on that base on work pretty much every day. And the men and women who are serving in that for our country and who are sacrificing, putting their lives on the line on a daily basis, you know, that's a difficult situation. I mean, you praise them, and you also got to praise, obviously, the people, the men and women who are serving on the front lines of this pandemic, the COVID-19, who have seen it all, the worst, good times, the bad, and the ugly, for sure. So, yeah, I definitely want to do that first and foremost. You know, kudos to my older sister, Stephanie, that's continuing to do her thing out wherever she is on the coast, wherever she is at. Definitely shout out to the Navy, shout out to the Army, Air Force, everybody who is putting their lives on the line. So definitely wanted to definitely put that out there here on this edition of 3 White Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer III here, recording after the Xfinity Series race just got done. Of course, I'm going to save that for part 2 of this podcast coming out on which will come out on Friday. This episode I'm talking to you guys now will come out due to my family situation earlier this morning. I did want it to come out tonight, but it's not. It's going to come out tomorrow night in between the truck series and, of course, the 500K of Charlotte on Wednesday night. So look out for that. You can listen to that after the truck series goes final with their race. So be out on the lookout for the 3 White Podcast. I'm telling you, we're getting busy, or we've been busy here since the pandemic. But yeah, absolutely. Back to the 600. Keep it where it is. Keep the tradition where it is. But yeah, there's been a lot of bad mouthing, at least on Twitter. You know what I mean? There's a lot of unhappy people on there. And I don't know, it was for me, I am back and forth between what I saw yesterday with the racing, obviously, you know. There was not enough action apparently going on. Too much. Yeah, you felt like there was not enough action through really up until the last maybe quarter of the race, maybe. But yeah, you had a threat of rain. There was this race. Did get started on time. They got to the first half, through the first half of stage one, and the rains came there. And damn, Kurt Busch was on rails there. This is a perfect example. We've seen this all the time in this Coke 600, right? I mean, you see the fast cars early, and then as the race goes on, you don't hear from them no more. And you hear the fast guys come through the crop. Kurt Busch was fast, but after that lengthy rain delay there, we didn't really hear from him again unless he was in a 3-wide situation. Thanks for the shit out, Mike Joy. But yeah, Kurt Busch had his moments there, and yeah, couldn't get it done right there. But obviously, you know, we're gonna get to the obvious in just a second there with Chase Elliott. Yeah, that team definitely blew. No sugarcoating there. They gave away that race. They blew an opportunity. I mean, last week, you know, they got taken out by Kyle Busch late in the race there, and then all of a sudden, you know, a few days later, you're in position where, you know, you've seen it all race long. I don't understand, especially when your teammate Alex Bowman was super fast throughout the entire race, and then taking advantage of the two race, and I give that really to Craig Hodge, because Alex Bowman, I didn't hear a peep from him in the first quarter of the race there. He was running the 12th, 13th spot there before the rains came, and all of a sudden, two tires stop, boom, Bowman super fast, leading the Coke 600 through the first two stages there. So I don't know what the hell he was thinking there at that time. Or obviously, you've been in that situation multiple times, so especially when the theme of the night was clean air, you would have thought, well, all right, I'm going to leave it. Especially, and that's a heartbreaker for those guys again, because William Byron was running fifth or sixth when the caution came out for him. Unfortunately, that was my lap track fantasy pick there. I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone picked Chase Elliott and Mark Trish Jr., but that was my lap track fantasy pick. Oh, man, Byron finished 20th in the race yesterday. So disappointing. Now, that could have been huge there. And then, obviously, Chase Briscoe, his bad luck today. He also finished 20th. So, yeah, leaving points out on the table in that situation there. I'll get to the wrecking and racing deal toward the end of this podcast. But, yeah, so I still got two chances there. At least it's better than none. Well, I'm going to explain that the news on Jimmy Johnson later in the podcast, but yeah, in that situation, man, I mean, Jordan Bianchi said it. I said it in the Teardown podcast that he pretty much made it pretty much plain and simple. Man, you gotta stay out in that situation, and I hate to agree with him because if you listen to this podcast, you know my takes on Bianchi a little bit. He can kind of be a little cocky in my eyes, but you know I agree with Jordan Bianchi. You gotta stay out in that position right there. You have the theme of the race was clean air. No questions asked about that. And damn, we seen it. I've seen it here at Kent Speedway a few times. That brought bad, painful memories of the Kansas race a few years back, where Truex was leading when Cole Pearl was on pit box, and he came in while Jimmy Johnson stayed out, gave the race away. Same situation right here. Same damn situation. Alan Gustafson gave the race away. No doubt about it. The veteran coochie that you are. Chase Elliott was a musician. And you could call conspiracy theories or whatever. Not unfortunate for William Byron. At the expense of Byron spinning with a left rear tire going down. You had to race one right there. And going back to Dover a couple years ago in the playoffs, you have Chase Elliott stay out and beat Denny Hamlin in the playoffs. You still have to stay out there. I don't know. I was definitely stunned with a lot of folks and probably a lot of Chase Elliott folks at that. You gave this race away. It's clear as day right there. You gave the race away and give it to somebody that has not won a Coke 600. So, damn. I mean, heartbreak city for the sick of the race of the year. You're in a position last week that you're running second to Denny Hamlin, and you get taken out by Kyle Busch. None of you're doing. And then here yesterday, last night, and what fans will have mixed emotions about this race. Not enough action. Too boring. Too damn boring. I'm going to go to sleep after 100 miles. Chase Elliott, you knew the carrot was dangling out in front of him. You were talking about it with Mike Joy doing the rain delay. You want to win. You want to be one-up your dad to get a 600 win. And instead, you leave the carrot out at Sharp Motor Speedway for Brad Keselowski to take. Holy cow.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to kick yourself there. Jimmy Johnson was fast. Well, we'll get to him here momentarily. But yeah, absolutely. You got to be disappointed there. Not grabbing that win. And Chase Elliott, I said that on the, not last week's episode, but the week prior. This dude has been fast. Leading laps, has opportunities to win. And either Chase has shot himself in the foot or continues to do that, or his pit crew shits the bed. And they literally shit the bed, make the wrong call. When you probably knew anyways, you've been in the sport long enough, when you knew that somebody was going to take that chance, somebody took that chance, that was Brad Keselowski, who for long has struggled at Charlotte, and then recently has picked up his performance there. But Brad Keselowski closes the deal out on Jimmy Johnson at the time to get his first Coca-Cola 600 victory there. And really a blown call situation right there. So definitely Brad Keselowski on the board. Jeremy Bowens picks up his third career Cup Series when as crew chief. There's Brad Keselowski, the champion, the past champion that he is, closes the deal out this time and capitalizes on the 9-team's misfuddlement of staying out in the Coke 600. Eddie Greer for the 3-Wide Podcast here, in which has been a rainy Manhattan, Kansas all day today on this Monday, May 25th. just recording it after the checkered flag fell in the Xfinity series. We'll save all the Xfinity talk for part two of Charlotte. But even prior to all this action starting, Denny Hamlin, your previous winner at Darlington for the green flag falls, major implications, major breakdown, and really serious implications at that, really, for the green flag, even got started for this race. Denny Hamlin had something go poof underneath the back end of the race car, something metallic. I'm going to call it ballast or whatnot. And yeah, ballast. Not the ones that you put in the lights that I have to deal with for work every day, but ballast underneath the car. Some heavy shit, right? So wow, this is crazy. Crazy starting the race for that team. And we're going to read, we definitely have that up here in my notes, the implications here, but serious implications going forward for this 11 team. And this is unfortunately out of your hands when stuff underneath the car flies out or falls off one or two, or damn, when I read the ramification of this, NASCAR, they take this seriously, especially when it comes to the type of this race car there. So Joe Gibbs Racing not appealing this penalty, but yeah, Denny Hamlin, this set this team way back, losing multiple laps down, and for the result of it, there are serious implications, right? All right, so I'm gonna read this real quick here via Bob Popcress. Loss or separation of added ballast from the vehicle will result in a 4-race suspension of the crew chief, car chief, and head engineer of the team. If NASCAR can't identify which series or which vehicle the lost ballast and were generated from, all vehicles entered from that event from and associated with the team organization identified on a lost ballot may receive suspensions. Well, they already identified. It was clear as day who lost the ballast underneath the car. And it was the 11 team. And Chris Gabehart, for what he did last week for Denny Hamlin at Darlington with that call, or I should say Wednesday night, excuse me, a few days ago, with that car, putting that car in victory lane with a call to stay out with no tires. And I don't know which, I forgot which driver, who it was, John Hunter Nemechek. You know, you were highest praise running that top 10, and then all of a sudden, the next time you're on the track, you suck. Well, you know, it applies here in this situation, but in different formats. You're the hero at Darlington, you come back here at Charlotte, not even lap one, and you're pretty much in the dumpster fire here, losing the ballast here. So, 4-race suspension for Denny Hamlin's crew chief, Chris Gabehart, car chief, Brandon Griffith, and engineer, Scott Simmons. So, that's huge for them, and I thought I had replacements there. So, okay, so, all right, so team will, looks like race engineer Sam McAuley will be with crew chief Eric Phillips there, and Scott Eldridge, they added a mechanic there with Scott Eldridge there, so I believe Eric Phillips will be the crew chief for the next 4 races. That's huge. I know, I understand the good depth and talent for Joe Gibbs Racing there, obviously there, but yeah, so Gabehart out for 4 races, beginning on Wednesday night with the 500K, and Brandon Griffith and Scott Simmons sit the door there for their actions there with the 11 team there. Ballast falling off and then running over it, and I believe somebody might have hit that as well. I want to say Eric Almirola, I'm not entirely sure, 100% sure about that. So yeah, major implications of that. So the 11 team's gonna have to make do, and you gotta come back Wednesday night and try to redeem yourself for what happened there. But unfortunately, it was not under Denny's control there. It was the crew's fault there for not tightening up that ballast tight enough. So 3 of Denny Hamlin having a great season so far, this took a major hit there, at least for now, with losing crew chief Chris Gayle and two others, Brandon Griffith. And dang it, I don't have that list in front of me. I just turned it to the flip pages there. With that situation, yeah, I said it earlier, so you're going to have to go back. We do a fast rewind on that. So, but the main thing, no, Chris Gabehart, you're gone. Four races.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
Brad Keselowski, winner of the Coke 600, yes, last night there, capitalizing on a mistake there. Yes, even though Chase Elliott did pit right there on the final caution of the day, he battled back originally to finish third at the time. But why I keep saying that? Because Jimmy Johnson, the other big news story coming out of that. Oh, I woke up. This morning, alright, so I woke up this morning, right, to, I don't know what I was doing, but after what I was doing, you know, I was washing my face, getting ready to head out for my morning run there, and after that morning run, checked the phone, and, alright, as normal, and then all of a sudden, Jimmy Johnson, I get the message, or it was already there on my phone, get the message that Jimmy Johnson has been DQ'd. I'm like, what? What just happened? Alright, so we went to bed thinking that Jimmy Johnson finished second, right? But apparently, that it has been taken off the boards. And I believe the first time this season, we have our first DQ of the 2020 season. It took, well, obviously this damn pandemic, but it took till late May to get our first DQ of the season via Jimmy Johnson. In that race team, obviously that team has been super fast all year long, and Jimmy Johnson, heartbreak city for him and his team there. As yeah, but yeah, Jimmy Johnson there, he finished second, and this dude was in contention there in the fourth quarter race. Jimmy Johnson started on the front row there, and this was a one day show. Qualifying was early on in the day, and he just missed the pole on Kurt Busch, who started on the pole right there. What a bad break for Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson, oh yeah, I got a little nervous there while Truex was leading there in the fourth quarter of this race, because damn, Jimmy Johnson's won this race five times, and this dude is, obviously we know the dude is hungry for a win, been through so much already, has not won a race in a damn long time. Comes up short, even in overtime, comes up short to Brad Keselowski. All the momentum shown wasn't really a factor in race two at Darlington a few days ago. And this 40 team showing up and showing out. For the second, right, you keep building that momentum for Wednesday. All of a sudden, you get a phone call. You find out hours later that you guys just been DQ'd. That's what happened there. With Jimmy Johnson's 48 car, Jay Fabian says the alignment was not in place there via Jay Fabian there, penalizing there, and Jimmy Johnson for the second straight midweek race now will start deep in the field. Wow, bad break, and then he loses all those points. So you earned 46 points. And you only, from what the paper finishing order says to me, 1 point, you finished dead last. That takes the win out, that takes the balloon, pops the balloon out of the air for that team. Jimmy Johnson has taken back-to-back blows and these back-to-back tracks. I mean, you could have won Darlington. You were up on the wheel, took the lead before wrecking yourself out. And now, flip the coin and your team, fortunately, takes you out of a second place running due to a failed alignment there, apparently. So, crew chief, I believe, Cliff Daniels If I'm not mistaken, I'm going to have to go back through these notes because I wrote it down here. Yeah, actually, he earned 39 points. Excuse me there. So, yeah, he failed post-race alignment numbers in the rule book. Not going to deep dump it in that, but Jimmy Johnson out of it. And his winless streak is at 102. Woo-hoo! Nothing to cheer about there. All you can cheer about is your performance on the racetrack. And all you can do is move forward to Wednesday night and try to repeat that performance. But, yeah, overtime performance there by Jimmy Johnson. He was in the top 10 for majority of this race. And Cliff Daniels, I believe, is going to be suspended for 2 races. I came across that earlier this morning. Unbelievable turn of circumstances. You come thus close to getting Brad Keselowski in overtime in the Coca-Cola 600. And you find out a couple hours later on the drive home or when you get home that you find out you've been disqualified. Man, couple of tough weeks for one Jimmy Johnson. Let's go through the full field rundown here. And in motorsports in general there. Missed opportunities there with 48 and a 9 of Chase Elliott. Jimmy Johnson shotgun. 46 points or 39 points possible earned. I thought it was 46 because he earned stage points there somewhere, or it might have been stage 2 because I know they only give a plot point to the winner of stage 3. They don't get plot points there. So fortunately there, Jimmy Johnson shotgun 40th, and the bad luck Bowyer continues for him. 39th after he was running just outside the top 10. Clint Bowyer, 39th. Bubba Wallace, vibration issues ended his night. 38th. J.J. Yeley, 37th. Joey Gase, 36th. Whitnow, 35th. Jimmy Hill, 34th. Garrett Smithley finished in the 33rd spot. BJ McLeod, 32nd. Greg Gauding, 31st. Brendan Poole, 30th. Denny Hamlin, issues and all, 29th. Daniel Suarez, still disappointing season for him, continues here in 2020, 28th. Ryan Newman, 27th. Matt Kenseth, who's up early competitive in the first quarter of this race, he had issues late there and ended up finishing 26th. Ty Dillon, 25th. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., 24th. Corley Joy, 23rd. Ryan Preece, 22nd. And Ross Chastain there finished in the 21st position. 3 Wide Podcast rolls on after this.
You're listening to the 3 Wide Podcast with EG3.
Lap track fantasy pick William Byron finished in the 20th position for Heron Motorsports after a potential top 5 run. Dash to it is left rear going down and set the stage for a blown call by the 9 team. Alex Bowman faded late there, and he was the one that stayed out, obviously, but that cost him at the end of the night this time. I mean, capitalized on it early in this race and thought to me that Alex Bowman was going to put it down again. But obviously, circumstances, pit sequences later in overtime, Alex Bowman finished in the 19th position. How about this Michael McDowell in his 34th? Quietly, another solid run. Top 20 finish for Michael McDowell in that 34th front row car. 18th, Matt DiBenedetto, who put up a fight in the fourth quarter, trying to stay out there. And he was leading, holding off Truex and them boys. But Matt DiBenedetto, in the day, he finished 17th. John Hunter Nemechek, 16th. Again, front row, putting up some top 20 runs. Solid for them. Eric Almirola, 15th. Austin Dillon, 14th. Joey Logano, 13th. Cole Custer finishes in the top dozen in 12th. Eric Jones, who was also in contention for a top 10 spot in the second half of this race, just faded out to the top 10 in 11th. Now your top 10. Chris Buescher finished in the 10th position. How about Christopher Bell? And I believe for him, his first top 10 finish of the year for that Levine Family Racing Toyota. Nice for Chris Rebell to get a ninth place finish. Tyler Reddick, who shows some speed. I'm excited for Wednesday night to see him do battle. Reddick in the eighth spot there. So, Reddick, you're leading or led the rookies there again. Kurt Busch, I've been saying, didn't hear a peep from him really after that first half of that stage one. Riley finished seventh there. Martin Truex Jr. led some more laps in another Coke 600 there. Finished sixth. Kevin Harvick, fifth. Kyle Busch finished in the fourth position. And your top three is presented by Patreon. We're on Patreon. And again, I gotta apologize again. It's been a repeating sheep, if you will, each week with this thing. Promise I'll check that out here sometime during my lunch hour while I'm on the road for work tomorrow doing that. So we're on Patreon. Still wide open opportunity to be a sponsor. You have an opportunity to do that. I'm still gonna leave it $10 a month to be a sponsor for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast. Ryan Blaney, second half for him. After starting 26, he ends up third. Chase Elliott, we already documented him, second after pitting in the final cautious race pitting for the lead. Second, blown opportunity here for that race team, and he was pissed off. Brad Keselowski, your winner, 21 laps led, en route to his first Coke 600 win, first of the season for Brad Keselowski. Laps led. I want to go back to Alex Bowman. 164 laps led. That's led all contenders. I believe either Kurt Busch led the first 40 plus laps or whatever. He ended up back there with 54 laps led. Martin Truex Jr., 87 laps led. Joey Logano, 26. I know I'm bouncing all over the place with that, so I apologize for that. But Chase Elliott, 38, and he was set on cruise control there until William Byron spun. Brad Keselowski, 21 laps led there en route to victory. First victory of the season. I thought I had typed up a stat right there for him. I did not, actually. Yeah, so Keselowski, only his second win, I believe, at Charlotte, and only in between 20 starts, but he's been racking up them top 10s. Yesterday marked his 8th top 10 in the last 12 races at Charlotte Motor Speedway, so there is that as well. And then, of course, next time you see the Cup Series, guys, Wednesday night with the 500K race, and the inversion is already there. William Byron will start on the pole position. Might as well just scroll on down to this list here. William Byron, Alex Bowman. Oh, boy. Alex Bowman already got that track position. So, Byron and Bowman will be your front row come Wednesday night. And you have Michael McDowell, Matthew Benedetto in the second row. And in the third row, John Hunter Nemechek and Eric Amarola. It's going to be fascinating to see strong guys go to the front once again. But this track, its characteristics, one of the toughest in the circuit. So it'll be interesting to see when the drop of the green flag come Wednesday night. Again, weather permitting with all the rain going on here in Manhattan, Kansas, and all obviously out east, you would think. All right, so we'll see what happens there with the weather when it comes down to business come Wednesday night. So, Hendrick Motorsports will be on the front row. Actually, let me double check that for a second here. I might be wrong about it. That's what I thought anyways. Here for a second here. Let's see. I had a stat up here earlier. Dang it. I must have lost it or something like that. Oh, man. Okay. So, yeah, apologize for that here. Yeah, at least I thought, yeah, I was right. Yep. Okay, so I thought for a second that I was wrong. Yep, confirmed it. William Byron starts on the pole for the Alex Coast 500K Wednesday night, followed by Alex Bowman. So can Hendrick Motorsports bounce back and to get that win? And no, it's not the prestigious race, but yeah, missed opportunities, not enough passing, and not enough action apparently 600 mile race. So, but all at the end, though, it got really interesting at the end and missed opportunities. At the end, it cost them. Denny Hamlin loses a crew chief four races. Jimmy Johnson gets DQ'd and puts him basically on the bubble as far as if you want to look at playoffs go. We ain't going to look at that right now. So, looking at current standings right now for the Cup Series right now, Kevin Harvick is still your leader. They're over the 22 car of Joey Logano. Alex Bowman has closed that third position is number two position there. Bowman, third. Chase Elliott, fourth. Brad Keselowski is in the tie. Actually, there's a tie for fifth there with Brad Keselowski and Martin Truex Jr., but Keselowski obviously gets it with the win on Sunday night. Eddie Griffin, the 3Wide Podcast here in kind of a soggy Manhattan, Kansas. The checkered flag waved just briefly 10 minutes ago when Kyle Busch outdoes Austin Senna. We'll talk more about that at the end of the week there. Looking forward to talking and explaining. And of course, while I'm on that subject, the trucks battle tomorrow night. Looking forward to that. And the bounty is on. Chase Elliott is in the field. Eric Jones was in the field, but he was, I guess, the kick to the curb due to no past champion, provisional, whatever it is. So Eric Jones not in the field. Elliott is, and Chase Elliott will have an opportunity to dethrone Kyle Busch, who just recently just won the Xfinity Series race. So looking forward to the trucks getting back out on the circuit here. It has been a long time since the trucks have been on second. It was just a while ago, really a few months ago, that we were talking about trucks in Atlanta getting ready for the anticipated bounty with Chase Elliott at his home track. Well, if Chase Elliott's going to beat him, he's going to have to do it at CMS Racing. So, yeah, the action was okay overall, once again, for this race. I mean, there's not enough excitement, obviously, apparently, but it got really crazy there in the fourth quarter race there. And, yeah, that sequence there, mind-boggling how a veteran crew chief, a winner in the series, just botched a call there when you knew that clean air was going to be all the difference. It was hard to get to the lead unless you had a fast race car like Bowman or Truex, and even Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott, again, he's been fast throughout the 2020 season, and again, another missed opportunity. Again, you can go back through his history here with Alan Gustafson, how many blown opportunities that he could have more than six wins on his resume to this point. And instead, you still have six wins and no wins here. We'll see if Chase Elliott can bounce back once again. Henry Motorsports has been on it. This Chevy team has been on top of the game here from the jump of the season. But it seems like to me, it's been a power struggle. Yeah, it's been talking with Henry Motorsports, but yeah, Toyota, you know, they started off slow. They've seemed to be gaining here a little bit here. I mean, we saw Eric Jones and Mark Trish Jr. run up front strongly there. Kyle Busch was up there. And, of course, you have Ford, Ryan, Blaney started in the back of the field because Keselowski struggled there for middle parts of the race. Logano was up there battling. He won stage 3, by the way, by staying. By what? Doing what? By doing what? Alan Gustafson? Yeah, he stayed out. So, yeah, that's just terrible misjudgment there. And, obviously, blew shit the bed on blowing a potential 600 victory first for the Elliots, but apparently he'll have to wait, Lord willing, until next year. So, yeah, biggest storylines, three storylines coming out of here. Kind of talked about them in spurts, if you will, folks. Chase Elliott blowing a call, or I should say blowing the call. Alan Gustafson blowing the 600. Denny Hamlin losing his crew chief due to loose ballast and not taking it seriously enough. And then Jimmy Johnson waking up today, this morning, is seeing that he was disqualified for a misalignment from the numbers for the rule book there from Jay Pure by Jay Fabian. So, yeah, it seems like a lot of this seems like a lot of this action due to other than Chase Elliott was due to non-race stuff, action before and after the green flag. So, man, topsy-turvy stuff, and we'll have to see what happens come Wednesday after Wednesday night when the Cup Series returns to Charlotte to put a book into their doubleheader. So we'll see what happens there. Can Brad Keselowski go back-to-back? Can Henrik Motorsports, who's been awfully strong here in the last couple weeks, and really all season long, can they figure out their dorm rooms, or will Toyota figure out a way to close things out? Tune in to FS1 Outskills 500K on Wednesday night. Of course, the Truck Series will happen tomorrow night as well, and we will definitely talk Xfinity Kyle Busch after being derailed by Chase Briscoe last week. Finally, get some redemption over Austin Cindric. You can follow me on Twitter at Eddie_EG3. My handle, Eddie@EG3. And the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Y'all know what it is. We're on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, and more. Yeah, 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Man, 4 days in a row, and it can't get much better than this. Yeah, it's under different circumstances, but hey, if you're a race fan, this is what you want. Obviously, shout out to Big D, producer of this podcast. We will get this out to you in between the trucks and the Cup Series race on Wednesday night. So pretty much be tomorrow night, probably be after the Chicken Flag Falls of the Truck Series race. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed the show. Time to break this thing down, baby. Ladies and gentlemen, it's another wrap of another edition of the 3Wide Podcast EG3. Congratulations to Brad Keselowski, your winner of the Coca-Cola 600. Eddie Greer III saying thank you for tuning in to the podcast this evening. And we will catch you at the end of this week. Thank you for listening to the 3Wide Podcast. Brad Keselowski knocks down Chase Elliott in the Coca-Cola 600. We out.
Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your sports podcasts. Spotify, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and more. We'll talk to you next time, going 3Wide.